Good morning. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Bob Powell. The U.S. Justice Department has filed a civil lawsuit against 23 coal companies owned by the family of West Virginia Governor Jim Justice. As Brittany Patterson reports, the DOJ is seeking over $4.7 million in unpaid fines and fees for mine health and safety violations.
The lawsuit was announced Tuesday by U.S. Attorney Thomas Cullen of the Western District of Virginia and the head of the Mine Safety and Health Administration, David Zataslow. In a news release, the DOJ said the 23 companies named in the lawsuit racked up nearly 2,300 mine safety and health violations over the last 5 years. According to a 2019 financial disclosure filed with the West Virginia Ethics Commission, all 23 companies are owned by the Justice family. The civil complaint says the companies failed to pay nearly $4 million in penalties associated with those violations. The DOJ said the Justice-owned companies ignored multiple demands by MSHA, the Department of Treasury, and the U.S. Attorney's Office to pay the delinquent debts. An investigation last month by the Ohio Valley Resource found the Justice family companies were the top mine safety debtors in the country. Representatives for the Justice companies and the governor's office did not immediately respond to a request for comment. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson.
A report released this week on public education in West Virginia could be a roadmap for lawmakers set to focus on improving the state's system. As Glass Board reports, the West Virginia Department of Education's report presents ideas and concerns collected from an online survey and a series of forums held around the state.
The Department of Education released the 33-page report titled West Virginia's Voice just weeks ahead of an expected special legislative session. In addition to about 2,500 comment cards, 1,600 people attended 8 forums, and 17,000 students, family members, and educators took part in an online survey. Based on that input, the department's report concludes that West Virginia's education system is not broken, but identifies 4 priorities for improving public education. They include increasing pay for all school employees, increasing funding for mental health professionals, incentivizing high-performance schools by providing local flexibility to explore educational innovations, and funding supplemental pay for shortage areas, especially math instruction. The report also indicates 88% of responses were opposed to both charter schools and educational saving accounts. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Glynis Board.
You can learn more about that report online at wvpublic.org. It's 7:46. This is West Virginia Morning. Good morning. It'll be dry, sunny, and warm today with a chance of rain showers possible across the eastern counties. Some statewide showers are possible beginning as early this evening in the eastern panhandle and eastern mountains, with more statewide rain throughout the state tomorrow. Highs today in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, overnight lows in the 50s and 60s.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Campaign Monitor, an email marketing platform used by more than 250,000 customers, offering personalization tools like engagement segments and dynamic content. More at campaignmonitor.com. And from the University of Florida, whose Emerging Pathogens Institute is tracking and treating deadly emerging diseases worldwide to safeguard human life, agriculture, and the global economy. Learn more at ufl.edu.
And support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Cape and Springs and Farms, an all-inclusive West Virginia mountain resort presenting an open house on Mother's Day, Sunday, May 12th. Information at capeandsprings.net. For the past 2.5 years, a first-degree murder case has worked its way through the courts in Charleston. Trey Kay, host of WVPB's Us and Them podcast, has followed the case in the death of James Means. The 15-year-old African-American boy was shot and killed in the city's East End back in November 2016. An older white man named William Pulliam is charged with the shooting. His trial is scheduled to start this week. In the latest Us and Them episode, Trey explains the newest twist in the case and how James Mean's family is doing.
And here we are again on the same thing with another continuance on this man's behalf. We haven't had any justice.
That's Faye Adkins. She's talking about a legal case in Charleston, West Virginia, against a man charged with killing her teenage son.
You took my son's life away from me. You know you're supposed to forgive everybody, but I just can't find it in my heart to forgive this man for taking my 15-year-old son, and I don't think that anybody else would either.
For this week, we had a different episode queued up, but we're preempting that plan because of an update to a story we've been tracking. Our last episode, Waiting for Justice, focused on a story we've been tracking for nearly 2.5 years. It's a case of a fatal shooting. William Pulliam, a 62-year-old white man, shot and killed a 15-year-old African-American boy. This happened in Charleston, West Virginia, back in November 2016. The case made national headlines. Reports say during his confession, Pulliam told police, "The way I look at it, that's another piece of trash off the streets." Like many people, I've been waiting for Pulliam's trial. Early on, there was concern in Charleston that this trial might draw a lot of national attention, kind of like the trials for the killers of Trayvon Martin or Michael Brown. But there have been multiple delays to Pulliam's trial. One of the most recent delays came because Pulliam was found mentally incompetent and unable to assist in his own defense. But after several months in a rehabilitation center, Pulliam's competency was restored. And his trial was scheduled for May 6th, 2019. But instead of a trial, the newest court hearing announced yet another delay in the case, pushing the trial off until August. I couldn't attend the hearing, but my friend and colleague, Lacey Pearson, the courts reporter for the Charleston Gazette, was in the courtroom. And she gives us a rundown of what happened.
The reason for the delay today, Mr. Pulliam has gotten a new attorney. He previously, this has to be at least his third attorney, and he wasn't satisfied with his most recent appointment. All of his attorneys have been court appointed. But his new attorney, Barbara Bound, she's new to the case, and she just asked for more time to become more familiar with the case.
Did the judge have any reaction to the fact that Mr. Pulliam wanted to change his counsel?
No, it actually... Honestly, for this judge, it was, like I said, this is something that happens every day in this courthouse, that people ask for continuances, and often for the very reason we saw today, where there's a new court-appointed attorney who's just not as familiar with the case.
Right.
And Judge King's demeanor was not different from how his demeanor usually is. He's fairly to the point. He'll let people talk, but he just wants them to say what he wants and or what they want him to do and what they want him to order, and he just kind of goes with it.
I somehow thought that this thing has been kind of continued and continued and continued, that he might be exasperated, but you're saying that he wasn't.
No, I mean, he could definitely be kind of stern as a judge, but he didn't seem unusually frustrated in compared to any other case. I mean, I've covered several cases in his courtroom, and if when he is frustrated, he will note that. And if there have been too many continuances, he will say, you know, the next time we're here in court, we're having a trial or we're having a plea hearing.
So apparently he hadn't hit critical mass yet.
No, not with this case, but he has before in others.
Yeah. Did he direct any comments to Mr. Pulliam?
No, it was a hearing that was just heavy on arguments from the attorneys and Judge King questioning the attorneys. I mean, the issue of the continuance was handled pretty quickly, and the rest of the hearing sort of focused on whether they would have a pretrial hearing to deal with some evidence and some suppression motions
right.
That Mr. Pulliam's attorney has.
Okay. Mr. Pulliam was in the courtroom. What was his demeanor like?
Today, he was the same as he has been in any other hearing, where he is quiet. He keeps his head down when he shuffles through the courtroom. He's obviously still in jail, so he comes in sort of the inmate orange jumper,
right.
And his feet and his hands are in shackles. He might whisper to his attorney if she addresses him. He will answer the judge if the judge asks anything of him. But otherwise, he stays silent and typically will just keep his head down.
Okay. So this sounds like a real procedural thing, but the trial was supposed to begin today. And were the Means family, were they there, ready for a trial to start?
They were here, but they understood that there was going to be a continuance, and they were frustrated. I mean, they, you know, when you say the word continuance, people don't really use that word very often. That's not something that most people keep in their vocabulary, especially in this way. I mean, more accurate way to say it is just another delay. And they didn't come here anticipating a trial. I mean, I think, honestly, every day of their lives, they anticipate a trial. They anticipate justice. They anticipate answers. And they anticipate Mr. Pulliam to give some kind of reason, or they want to hear why he shot their son, their cousin, their brother. That's what they anticipate. They didn't anticipate a trial today, but they anticipate a resolution at some point. And I think they will, if they have to wait the rest of their lives for it, they'll wait.
I'm curious, how many people were in the courtroom?
It was a pretty packed courtroom. But there also, there were so many hearings set down, too. It's hard to tell who was there for what. But after Mr. Pulliam's hearing ended, I'd say the courtroom emptied out about halfway. I inferred that some of the people who were there were relatives of James Means' friends, because they will also be called as witnesses.
Right.
In this case, too. So, I mean, they obviously have a vested interest in being here. And, of course, you know, this was their friend or their son's friend. And they also have an interest in seeing justice served in this case.
Could you tell if there was anybody there to support William Pulliam?
There didn't appear to be to me, and I haven't seen anybody there in the past who appeared to be there for him.
Well, at the time when this shooting and the killing of James Means happened, I mean, there was an outrage. It made the national news. And most of it had to do with the incendiary comment that William Pulliam made when he was in police custody, where he said, you know, I was just taking a piece of trash off the street. And based on that, you know, it seemed like there was going to be a lot of outrage and a lot of people, you know, coming to protest, whether there would be local groups or national groups. Was there any evidence of protests in the courtroom or outside?
With the exception of James's family, one of his cousins, his mom and his aunt who were here today, there was none. And even the media coverage was, all things considered, especially for a murder trial, even the media coverage was scant. I mean, it was me from the Gazette. You all from public broadcasting, and only one television outlet was here to cover it too, which seemed odd to me. There was none of that, and you know this just as well as I do, that James Means' family initially took the approach that they were gonna, you know, stay calm and wait for this thing to play out, but it's taken so long. And even James's Aunt Teresa today said that, you know, a lot of people think that this trial's happened and that he's in jail, but it's not. And she noted that there's no resolution and there's no peace for them. So it does seem to be that now maybe they do want to, you know, step out a little bit, talk more about this case, and rally a little more support from the public, because there's no resolution in this case.
That was an excerpt from the latest episode of Us and Them called Still Waiting for Justice. To hear the entire episode, download Us and Them from iTunes, Stitcher, NPR One, or Radio Public. You can also listen online at wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Also, be sure to like our page on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at wvpublicnews. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Dave Mistich. I'm Bob Powell.